Hallelujah. Would you turn to Joel chapter 2? Joel 2:28. Is everybody there? Glory to God. Is everybody here? You know, you may be here, but not here. Would you read it with me, please? Verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. And your young men shall see visions. I thank God I still see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth. Blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance. As the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. Wow. Mount Zion in Jerusalem, there shall be deliverance. In other words, God is, but first he's doing pouring out his spirit. I want you to understand something, that pouring out his spirit is also associated with deliverance. Amen? And God said that we'd have dreams and we had visions. In other words, he would open the door to the other side more. Now, the more that you're in the spirit, the more that you're saturated with the spirit of God, the more things you see. Are you with me? The more things you hear. Because one of the most important things is to have clarity. And that's what deliverance does also. It brings clarity to us. See, sometimes even in God's presence, you don't even know you're getting delivered. All of a sudden you get clarity. Why? Because something was preventing you from seeing or hearing or being sensitive to the Spirit of God. Most of the time it's your desires. Most of the time it's something that you have picked up. So understand this, that God is pouring out his... It doesn't mean he poured out his spirit one time. You know, so many people think that because they've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, that's it. No way. We want to be baptized constantly. There's more than just one baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's a continuous baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's a continuous filling. That's why Jesus said through Paul, man, don't be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit of God. So there's a continuous... Because even in the Word of God, it says not only did they do works... But then they did greater works. Why? Because the anointing increased. Are you with me? But see, what happens is the enemy wants to put you in a place of complacency, compromise, where you stop seeking, where you stop, where you're just comfortable with what you got. I'm not comfortable with what I have because I know there's more. And that's what keeps us thirsty and hungry. The moment you get comfortable, let me share with you. As soon as you get comfortable, it's a short period of time after that you rely on your strength. And you don't even realize it. Because the enemy begins to send fiery darts to you that you don't even know about. And it says, you're okay. Come on, you know the word. You know this. You're all right now. No. None of us is all right. None of us has made it. None of us is right. Hello? Are you with me? See, this is where you've got to constantly go. You cannot allow yourself to come into a place of complacency and compromise where you believe that you have made it or that you've got it. Amen? Because even when you get something, when you get a revelation, an impartation, God expects you to utilize that. It's something that brings you from place to place. The Bible says that we go from glory to glory. Amen? Glory to glory. You know, one of the things that we've shared before, the worst thing that we want to do is be successful in the wrong assignment. Amen? Where people become, they get involved in success and believe that that's fulfillment instead of God's presence. Oh, hallelujah. Now, is everybody okay? Turn to 2 Corinthians 3. Oh, hallelujah. scripture into heaven and get a drink. We all need one. Praise God. Lord, fill us afresh. Whew. Glorious. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Is everybody there? Okay. Would you go to verse 7, please? And read it with me. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory and the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that what? Excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is what? Much glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. Isn't it wild? That's why many of the Jews don't get it yet, because the veil is not taken away. That's what happens in the world. The veil is not taken away because we were born blind. And the veil is taken away by what? By Christ. It's taken away by the anointing. It's taken away by what? The anointing. Because there are people who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they're still blind. It's taken away by the anointing. Amen? Let's go a little further. Nevertheless, what? When one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now he's going to tell you who the Lord is. Now, the Lord is the what? The Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, there's something very powerful here, because he says we go from glory to glory. And I was sharing with you that we go sometimes when revelation allows us to, it gives us a boost into the next place. And this is an area where we cannot be compromising or be complacent. We must stay thirsty and hungry for God's presence. Amen. Because what we don't want to do is be successful in the wrong assignment. Because people begin to believe that because they are successful, that it's of God. Hello? Not that God doesn't want anybody not to be successful, but there's a difference of his wills. Amen. Then they get fulfillment on being successful instead of fulfillment in the presence of God. And that's one thing that I always tell you, that you're falling away by not being fulfilled in God's presence. Amen? Being fulfilled in God's presence. Now he says something here. He says, look it. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? There's liberty. Come on, everybody say, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. What does liberty mean? Freedom. Freedom. That's what it means. Freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now there's something that God says. He said, don't grieve the Spirit of the Lord. How do you grieve the Spirit of the Lord? By going out beyond limitations that he's given you. Are you with me? Now listen. There are limitations of liberty. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. There are limitations of liberty. And these are things that you will not discern unless there is clarity. Are you with me? Say, there's limitations of liberty. Oh, hallelujah. Go to 1 Corinthians 10. Are you there? Oh, yeah. Glory. Verse 23. Would you read it with me? All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are edifying. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Now listen, this is where God, this liberty that we have been given, there are limitations to the liberty, even though that we have freedom. And there are areas where people can just, because they have been freed or they have this freedom, they believe that they get a right to do whatever they want. Are you with me? Well, and the deception part of this is because judgment doesn't come instantly. Then I think, well, I must be okay. I'll just continue to do it. Amen? This is where we have limitations of liberty. And what happens is one of the things that pulls people out of this place is compromise and complacency. They lose the thirst and hunger for God's presence. They lose the thirst and hunger for righteousness. The Bible says, those who thirst and hunger for righteousness shall be what? Filled. And they lose it. Why? Because their focus has gone to another area to become successful. There's nothing wrong with success. Don't get me wrong. But it becomes a priority. Then it becomes an idol. Idols in people's life always cause them to go astray. Idols. There are idols in people's lives that people don't even know they worship. Hello? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6. Verse 12. Praise be to God. Would you read it with me? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Hello. This is when you've gone beyond your limitations of liberty. You are now brought under the power of it. Why? Because now you live, breathe, and do it. That's it. It's got power over you. See, this is when we begin to compromise and become complacent in the things of God. Now all of a sudden this thing is taking over you. You sleep it, you awake it, you dream it. Everything's associated with something that you're connected with, and it becomes an idol. It's got power over you now. It's got power over you. You know, the enemy loves to put desires in us, doesn't he? He likes to shoot those fiery darts, those Cupid ones and all those other ones. And all those lust ones, the selfish and prideful and the love of money and all the other things. He loves to shoot these things. See, in your walk of freedom in the Spirit, there are limitations. And in these limitations, you must become sensitive. You must be able to discern it and how close you're getting to it. Even in your discussions, that you all of a sudden you hear the Holy Spirit say, that's enough. You're going beyond your limitations. In places, in buying and purchasing and spending money, there are limitations that God has given us. See, just because we are free and we have freedom in the Spirit, there are limitations what God will not allow you to do. And there are specific for each and every child of God. So you cannot compare yourself to somebody else that says, I don't understand why that person can do it and I can't. Are you with me? Well, then you're losing relationship, a personal relationship with Christ. Now you're focusing on somebody else's relationship instead of your own. Are you with me? Praise God. Woohoo. I know that he's talking about something else here, but anyways, we're going to go to verse 20. Foods for the stomach and stomach. A man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So we are the temple of the living God. In other words, there are boundaries. When you build something, first of all, you set a foundation. You've got to go out and find a piece of property first, don't you? And there are boundary lines in that property, isn't there? Amen. In other words, you can't. There are limitations on that property. You can't build on the other person's property, or you find yourself in court. Hello. So, in this, even in there's boundaries. There were boundaries even in when God set boundaries with the Jews. There were boundaries. They were not allowed to do certain things. They were now not allowed to marry others outside of their tribes or outside of their heritage and culture. They could not marry Amalekites or Jezebites or Perizzites. Or they were not allowed to marry any of them. Demonites, you know. And God didn't want them to intermingle with them because he chose them to be sanctified unto him. Amen? But when they began to do that, because they went beyond their boundaries, it caused problems. Are you with me? So there are areas when we go beyond the limitations of freedom and begin to abuse it. Things with words. Some people lose sight of how they speak to people and their freedom. They lose sight of what things to purchase, even places to go. Well, I can go this. Even movies that people watch, music that people hear. They think because they are free. I'm telling you, there are things in the Christian bookstore that are demonic, and they should come out because it's promoting something that somebody believes, and in fact, they even believe the person that did it or the movie person is a believer. But he's only portraying to be something so he can collect their money. I'm telling you, believers are going beyond, many believers go beyond the limitations of freedom and liberty. They hang with people they shouldn't be. The Bible says don't hang with them, right? Do not be even unevenly yoked with people. He tells us to be sanctified. Listen, the closer you are to God, the more sanctified you are. You can't get closer to God unless you are sanctified. You must be separated. That's why God makes boundaries and limitations. That's why the Bible says that the walk with the Lord is what? Narrow and difficult. But the way to hell is wide and broad. Amen? It's narrow and difficult. The Bible tells us definitely about who we hang with, about not hanging around with unruly brothers or whatever, people not willing to follow the doctrine and so forth. I mean, God tells us. Why? Because he wants us to be sanctified. But people take these limitations and ignore them. And then you get a quickening in your spirit or a conviction saying, man, you know, you shouldn't be watching that. Or you shouldn't be listening to that. Or you shouldn't be saying that. Whether you be with someone that's a believer or now all of a sudden, man, I went to a place one time and this guy was given a testimony. He was given a testimony in a drug program. He invited me to go with him. I had no idea. I said, okay, I'll go. I went to there. He was given the testimony. He went beyond the boundaries of limitation and I saw a whole other person begin to speak. I'm telling you, he started giving glory to himself and how he murdered people and stuff and this. And I'm thinking, man, this guy's way out there. I mean, dudes and people that were in the drug program started drooling and stuff. You know what I mean? I could see it in the spirit. They were beginning to get hungry. Now, by the time this guy was getting done, everybody wanted to go out and use. I was like, man, this guy's beyond his limitations. And then I was waiting for him to do something. And he turns to me and says, now guy's going to pray for you. Hallelujah. I was just invited to go with him and sit there and do nothing. But God had another plan. So I ended up praying for everybody in the place, and to God be the glory. But do you understand that there are things, that's what they're called war stories too. People can get into a war story, and next thing you know, they're both, whoa. I mean, because they're boasting of the evil that they've done. Because of the limit, they've gone beyond their limitations. Going beyond limitations will cause problems. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to cause it right then, but it'll catch up. Amen? Oh, praise God. Go to 1 Corinthians 8. We are the temple of the living God, and the temple always has boundaries. There are people, I asked them, I said, hey man, I meet him somewhere or something, and start talking about the Lord, or so I'll have a t-shirt on and say, oh, you're a believer? I'm a believer too. Well, praise God. You know? Yeah, well, where do you work? What do you do? Well, I'm a bartender. Batter up. I say, what? I'm a bartender. Well, do you read the Word of God? Well, yeah. Well, did you see in there where the Bible says, woe to him who gives drink? In other words, woe to him who's a bartender. The blood's on your hands, man. Well, you know, I'm free. I've got the Spirit of God. No, brother. See, this is where people believe that once saved, always saved. Because there is no limitations. I'm telling you, I've had people call me and tell me, I'm struggling with this, I'm struggling with that. Well, how long, you know, I've been a believer 20 years or 15 years or 4 years or whatever it is. Well, what are you struggling with? My girlfriend keeps doing this, that. Well, where is she? Well, we live together. Well, hello. Don't you get the boundaries? See, those are very tangible ones, you know. But there are ones that are not so tangible. There are ones where you've got to be careful. Because the enemy is looking for any loophole or any area of your life that he can enter in. And if you go beyond those boundaries, he's waiting there. And God is setting specific boundaries for each individual. And believe me, the enemy knows your boundaries. He waits for you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, would you read it with me? Beware lest someone somehow, are you with me? Is everybody there? Can everybody read? Praise God. Can everybody speak? Hallelujah. Let's read it. But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are what? Weak. Weak. Now I know that he's talking about foods and stuff like this. Watch, go on. But if anyone what? Sees you who has knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to who? Idols. And because of your knowledge, shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat again. I'll never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. In other words, things that he was doing was causing his brother to stumble. Even though we weren't looking at it as sin. Because we went beyond the limitations of liberty. And it became a stumbling block to somebody else. You get it? Sure you get it. Oh, praise God. Now, there's something very powerful he says which he was using food as an example, right? Causing someone to stumble onto what? Idols. Borderlines of trust. God sets up borderlines of trust. He establishes specific borderlines. He sees whether you will obtain and discern these borderlines. The more you discern the borderlines of trust, you earn His trust. When you begin to go over these limitations of liberty, you begin to lose His trust. Doesn't everybody want to earn the trust of God? Amen. It's misuse of freedom. I mean, I'm going to give this example, of course. Everybody knows. Look at Samson. That's a prime of example of somebody going over the limitations of freedom or liberty. Samson. Look what he did. I mean, God anointed him and everything. And, you know, he fell into fornication and the anointing was still on him, wasn't it? But he went over limitations. In fact, his parents were saying, man, you can't marry that girl. She's not a part of our family. She's not one of us. Well, he still went out and wanted to marry. I mean, do you understand? All of these things opened the door. They went beyond the limitations to where Samson finally became blind. In fact, they poked his eyes out. And he became a slave to darkness. Amen? Go to 1 Peter 5. Limitations of liberty. Glory. Hallelujah. Are you there, 1 Peter 5? First four verses. Would you read it with me? The elders who are among you, I exhort. I who am a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and also partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not what? Fade away. Now we see here that somebody was doing something for what? Dishonest gain. I remember talking to a preacher one time I met somewhere, and he was asking about some work being done to his place and so forth. And he said, hold on a second, he got in a phone call. And as he was talking on the phone, he was talking about how he was waiting for the church that was going to pay him more money to go preach at. I'm telling you, my spirit was so grieved, it was phenomenal. I thought, wow. And he was boasting in how he could preach over the phone. And he was telling the person, he says, yeah, I've got applications in this place and that place and whatever. And whatever one is going to give me the most money, well, that's the one I'll probably go to, but I don't know. He was talking about who would ever pay him the most to speak at certain events he would go to. See, these are limitations going beyond limitations of liberty. And the man had the Spirit of God. But he was taking it and going beyond limitations. I don't know what happened to him after that, but I know something good couldn't have. I know it. Things seemed to be well right then. He was a well-dressed man, nice house, all kinds of things, whatever. Family. But I knew in my spirit, because I was hearing the Holy Spirit even say to me, don't become like this. Don't become like this. Don't become like this. Why? He's saying set up borders. Set up those border lines. God is going to set up border lines for you not to go over. We have a wonderful teaching called Boundaries of Worldliness, which really helps people get an understanding of it. Because there are many individuals that are using the liberty and going beyond the limitations that God has given us. And there's a place where we must have that discernment. And without that discernment, you will not have that clarity, because without God's presence, it won't manifest. Are you with me? He was doing things for dishonest gain. That's called dishonest gain, isn't it? Amen? What? Listen. He became complacent and compromised. People become religious. And they justify by what they know or what they're not doing. Well, I don't use anymore. I don't drink anymore. And I don't smoke anymore. What else is there? I don't have sex anymore. I don't do this anymore. See, that's religion. That is not freedom. Then you're justifying yourself of what you've accomplished. And that's not freedom. That is not grace. Amen? You are already set up by the enemy. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Hallelujah! Lord, are you talking about me? Yes. Yes, he is. Don't worry about it. Is there something I'm going beyond? Yes. Just get it together now. You see those, you know, all those little space lines that say don't go beyond here? If you find some chalk on your foot, uh-oh, you know, you stepped on the borderline. Look on your hands or... You've fallen out of balance, man. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. Is everybody there? Are you sure? Okay. Would you read it with me? Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Wow. You know, I want to share something else before we go further. What the enemy loves to do is give extreme expectations. These expectations will draw an individual to a line. Sometimes an individual will have such expectations that are really not from God. But the enemy is giving them a deceptive expectation. And then when the expectation is not met, there's a big fall. Are you with me? In other words, there's a difference of trust and there's a difference of expectations. When I have expectations, I take them and I give them to God. Because I don't want any. The only expectation I have is His presence. I'm expecting His presence. Amen? I'm expecting His word to come to pass. Those are expectations. I'm expecting. Because the Bible even says man will let you down. Amen? How many of you all had expectations on somebody else? And they let you down. Amen. Well, you know what? We got another teaching called Don't Go There. Don't go there. Now, there are expectations that God has placed in us of what, but it's not a, I call it more of a desire than an expectation. And it's a desire that He's given us because we want to be more like Him. Amen? But if you're expecting to dress like Him today and you're expecting everything to manifest exactly the way He did it then with you now, well, maybe you're not prepared for it. Are you understanding? So sometimes people have expectations that they're not prepared for. So then when they don't meet these expectations, there's a big downfall. And then they get upset with God and this, that, and whatever. What have they done? Have they actually gone on, even in the limitations, this liberty, this freedom, even in your thought life, there are limitations of what you should think. Because as a man thinks, so he is. There are limitations of this liberty of what you should think. You know, when you go into, I mean, even when you go into a local store and you go to get something or whatever, I mean, they've got all these porno magazines right in the front. Thank God they got them covered, but the titles aren't covered. I mean, you got to go in there like this. Yeah, how much? You know? I mean, the place is nuts. So you've got to be careful because there are people who think, well, you know, it's all right. I'll just glance at it for a little while. And And believe me, some people, Lord, that's the girl I want to marry right there, yeah. What an expectation. Hallelujah. Praise God. We won't go there right now. Just got hot in here. Praise God. Is everybody there? Where are we at anyways? Verse 13. Praise God. Would you read it with me? These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the what? The Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what? Foolishness to him, nor can he know them. Can he know them? Because they are what? Spiritually discerned. They are what? Spiritually discerned. Say it again. Spiritually discerned. Say it again. Spiritually discerned. Wow. See, so the only way that you are going to know about these boundaries is by discerning them. See, because you know when they do a baseball diamond, they clean it all up, they put the bases there, and they put the out-of-bound lines. And same thing with a football thing and whatever. See, the devil loves to come over there and erase all the boundary lines. So you can't discern them. Then he likes to, you know, cause you to get out of bounds, and then all kinds of things happen. Discernment. Let me show you what discernment does. Discernment is blinded by pride. Pride always blinds discernment. You cannot discern when there is pride there. Are you with me? Now we know that pride, there's two fruits of pride, and that's rebellion and betrayal, isn't there? Amen. That's why the Bible says pride goes before a fall. And when an individual takes, it all starts with not taking the limitations of liberty seriously. Not taking the limitations of liberty seriously. That's how it starts. And one thing leads to another. You know, I'm going to share something else. Even when people tithe, I mean, that's another big stumbling block. When people tithe, they have all this justification of how they're going to tithe or whatever, that how they're going to do it. You know, there are people who plant financial seeds in places that God's not told them to. And then they cry to God expecting a return, but there won't be a return. You know, there's this myth that whatever you sow, you reap in finances. Let me tell you something. The Bible says that you're to put in the soil that God told you to put it in, or there is no harvest. So there are a lot of people that are just wasting their money. Does God see it? Yes, He sees it. But the Bible says you'll either get a 30 or 60 or 100-fold return. You'll never get a 100-fold return until you put it in the place that God tells you to put it. Are you with me? And then when you do that, you're to pray over that seed of what you're expecting, because you don't want to plant a corn seed expecting apples, you know. Are you with me? So you pray over that seed. You're expecting these apples to come up and corn comes up. What's up, Lord? Why did I get this? Well, you didn't pray what you wanted. You planted dead seed. Some of us are getting weeds. Lord, what's with the weeds, man? Well, you planted in unfertile ground. What do you mean? Well, you didn't plant where I told you to plant. Are you getting this? See, because this limitation of liberties have gone beyond what they're supposed to be doing. This is why God wants us to have a personal relationship. He said to them, who do they say that I am? And then he said, who do you say that I am? In other words, you better get personal. I want to get personal with you, and I want you to get personal with me, he says. And as you get personal, you'll know what you're supposed to. You'll have the discernment. Your desire is to get in his presence, and clarity always manifests. And you'll know where to plant. Amen? Praise God. You know, I remember the Lord telling me, I want you to plant somewhere and whatever. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I didn't know the address. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. He said, just go to this meeting. The person will be there. And I said, okay. I went to the meeting, and there the person was. I wrote him the check, gave him the money. It was on a Friday. That Monday, I gave a $1,000 check on a Friday. That Monday, somebody came over, knocked on our door and blessed us with $4,700-something. Man, from that point on, I said, okay, where do you want this one to go? Where do you want it to go, Dad? Where do you want it? See, if you're not planting and what God is telling you to plant, you're not getting a harvest. And if you're not praying over that seed, what you're desiring or what God is telling you, Lord, what do you want me to pray for the seed? See, because you're not planting for you, you're planting for him. Why? Because he's going to support what you're supposed to do. So you need to ask him, Lord, what do you want me to... Okay, here's the soil, great. Now, what do you want this to be? What is the seed for? And he'll tell you. This is for such and such. This is for this. This is for... I want to bring a hundredfold back to you. So that the seed can go do this, so that the seed can go do that. Are you with me? But see, when this liberty that we have has been abused, it's no longer come to a personal relationship as do whatever we think we should just do. And then we call it God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 9. Is everybody all right? Everybody there? In verse 24, would you read it with me? Glory. Is everybody there? Do you not know that those who what? Run in a race, all run, but one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you what? May obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for what? Imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I what? Discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be what? Disqualified. So let me share with you. This is where it takes discipline, doesn't it? You must be disciplined. You must be disciplined. What? Disciplined to do what? Do the same thing over and over. Do the same thing. What do you mean? Take that seed, plant it where God told you to plant it. Discern those boundary lines. Now let me share something with you. As you are faithful, those boundary lines begin to expand. Why? Because God is preparing you for those boundary lines to expand. Why? Because he's wanting to get you into a place where you can destroy deep parts of the kingdom of God, kingdom of darkness. Where the kingdom of God is going to take over that place and take over that place. But if you go beyond the boundaries where you're supposed to, the kingdom of darkness will take you over. They'll steal everything. That's why the Bible says the thief, the devil's come to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. That's what manifests when you've gone beyond your limitations of freedom. And we don't want to have access to the enemy at all, do we? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. So we must be disciplined. Everyone say discipline. You know, in the word discipline is disciple. Hallelujah. So you want to be a disciplined disciple, right? 2 Corinthians 7. Glory. Are you there? Go to verse 1. Would you read it? Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us what? Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So what is going to assist you in maintaining these boundaries, these limitations, is to be cleansed. We're to keep ourselves cleansed. Cleansed from what? Cleansed from the things of the world. Cleansed spirit. Cleansed soul. Cleansed. Keep your mind cleansed. Cleansed. Everybody say cleansed. Does God desire to clean you? You betcha. Oh, yeah, man. Yes. You ever been chastened? It's nothing but cleaning. You ever been convicted? It's nothing but cleaning. You ever been afflicted? Sometimes that's nothing but cleaning. Sometimes God is trying to cut out unbelief in us to where we fully believe. Let me tell you, the more you are trusted, the more the limitations go. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Hebrews 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Glory. Limitations of liberty. Praise you, Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But not to take it beyond limitations. Hallelujah. In verse 14, I believe. Oh, maybe not. Let's see, Hebrews 9. Ooh. Now let's start at verse 11. Is everybody there? But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place, once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Come on, read it with me. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works and to serve the living God? So what cleanses you? The blood. The blood of Christ. That's why it's so important to use the blood of Christ. One of the things that activates the blood of Christ is repentance. Lord, forgive me. What did you do? I don't care. Whatever I did, forgive me. Hello? Why take a chance? Every night, every day, Lord, forgive me for everything that I've done that's offended you in thought, word, and deed. Anything that I said that wasn't of you. Every vow that I've made that I didn't complete or fulfill. Every, you know, there are people that still have accursed items in their house they ain't cleaned up yet. Hello? Accursed clothing and all kinds of stuff. It's still got logos on it. Well, believe me, we were at an outreach. There are people claiming to be Christians, and they've got Corona extra hats on. Hallelujah. They're promoting booze, man. Cleanse our conscience by the blood of Christ. Amen. What do? You repent. It's God's forgiveness. You utilize the weapons of God. His name, his word, and his blood. Is everybody all right? Praise God. Go to Ephesians 5. Oh, praise God. Verse 26, somewhere around there. Oh, verse 25, let's go there. It says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also has loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the what? By the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Now, if it's going to wash the woman with the word, who is it going to wash you with the word? Everybody. Amen? Everybody. So there's two areas of washing. There's repentance with the blood, and there's washing of the word, isn't there? Now, we know that there's refreshing in the presence of God. I mean, sometimes God is washing an individual with the presence of God because the person didn't really see what they had done. They get in God's presence, and God brings clarity so they can see it, and they begin to weep and cry. And I'm not saying all weeping and crying is because of somebody being convicted. Sometimes you're just weeping and crying because he's awesome. Amen? But understand, you've got to be a willing vessel to be cleansed. You got a desire to be cleansed. You got to want it. Go to James 4. Glory. James chapter 4. You know, David cried out about getting cleansed. Lord, cleanse me. Cleanse me, Lord, from my secret faults, my secret sins. Cleanse me. Hallelujah. James 4. Is everybody there? In verse 7, it says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will what? Lift you up. Now he's talking about, man, you know, put on a cloak of humility. Humble yourself. You must become humbled. He says, cleanse your hands, sinners. Cleanse. Everything is about cleansing. Because why? For you to discern these limitations, you must have clarity. That involves discernment. And if those things are not being manifested in your life, you'll step over those limitation lines all the time and just think you're doing okay. And then pride will begin to blind your discernment. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Glory. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 21. Would you read it with me? Therefore, if anyone what? Cleanses himself from the letter, he'll be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Now, he's not just talking about your past life. He's talking about anything. Everything right now is ladder. Let's see, we came in here around what? 10 o'clock? Well, everything's ladder. At 10 o'clock, it's ladder. 5 after 1, 1 o'clock is called ladder. Hello, this is all ladder. If anyone cleanses himself from the ladder, anything that is in your past right now is called ladder. And I don't mean one you climb up, okay? I mean one that's behind you. In past, anyone who cleanses himself from the past will be. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter or the past, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Oh, death is a wonderful place. Then he tells you about what's up. He says what? Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, with those who call on the Lord out of a what? Pure heart. That means, man, don't hang around with those that aren't doing these things. Avoid foolish and arrogant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. That's a vessel of honor. And I want to close at 1 John 5. Limitations of liberty. Praise you, Lord. Everybody there? Verse 18. Hallelujah. It's good to hear the pages turning on a Sunday morning. Again, if you turn them fast enough, they'll fan your neighbor. Are y'all all right? In verse 18, let's read it together. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. Now, come on. Anybody sin lately? I remember a long time ago I had a stiff discussion with somebody about this. What do you mean? I don't sin anymore. You're sitting right in front of me, brother. You just sinned by just what you just said. I don't sin anymore. You're out there. It says it right here. He was born again, doesn't sin. Okay. I moved away from him. I didn't know it was going to come out of the sky yet. But he who has been born of God keeps himself. And the wicked one does not touch him. It doesn't mean that he doesn't sin. Amen? It means that when he does something, he comes out of it quickly. Ooh, yee, ah, just touched something unclean. Ooh, I just said something I shouldn't have. Oh, man. Believe me, if people could, did you ever see those billboards that have the computer printouts of the letters going across? I mean, if everyone had to attach their mind, we'd all be in trouble. My God, look what he's thinking! Some of us are going, my God, look what I'm thinking! See, because we sin in our thoughts. Amen? I didn't know you thought that about me. So thank God it's not all displayed for man to see, but it's displayed for God to see. Amen? So there are things that are going to happen that we're going to go, oh, geesh, Lord, forgive me for my thoughts. You know, your greatest thought attack is when you're getting ready to worship God. My goodness. I mean, you know, we were all in our nothing boxes until we started worshiping God, and then all of a sudden, you know, everything opens up. There was a floodgate of thoughts. See, then we spend half the time as we worship, repenting. Oh, Lord, forgive me for this. Oh, Lord, forgive. Oh, my God, forgive me for this. Okay, now come on in here. Praise God. So we know that whoever is born of God does not sin. Well, we know about that. In other words, God, we do sin, but we get right back in there quickly, don't we? But he who has been born of God keeps himself. and a wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. In other words, don't go beyond those limitations. Amen? Praise God. Now, it says you cleanse yourself by the Word and by the blood, right? Well, doesn't that sound like communion? Glory. So let's do some communion. Praise God. Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise, and we just thank you, Master. Lord, we repent again for going beyond our limitations that you have placed for us, Lord. Lord, any area where we've gone beyond those limitations and taken the limitations of liberty out of context, we ask for your forgiveness. Lord, any of those ridiculous expectations for selfish desires, Lord, we repent. Any area, Lord, where we have gone beyond thoughts, desires, things that we've purchased that we weren't supposed to. Lord, anything that we have gone beyond these limitations of liberty and abused them through words, resentments, anything to that degree, Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. And we ask that you'd wash us with your blood and fill us with your Spirit and grant us the strength to say yes to you and no to darkness as we prepare our hearts to have communion with you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.